Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You know what I want.
Not Samson, Greg. Not Samson.
No, I want a top Samson.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode, an off-season episode of the Pull Up Trey podcast, wherein I, Samson Folk, talk to my dear friend Trey, Trevon Heath, who is pulling up a shorter episode today, a more focused episode today, wherein I believe the term is bargain binning, dumpster diving, all that kind of stuff. We're going to try and find some names that might be interesting for the Raptors to look at in free agency. And obviously, like, Paul George is not coming to Toronto, that kind of stuff. That's out the window. But some interesting names. And then on top of that, if the Raptors aren't going to use their money in free agency, another way to get assets or bring players on is to absorb large unwanted contracts. So that's kind of what we're going to look at. Maybe we've got 20, 30 minutes in us today. But an interesting, it's like interesting to talk about. Trey, how the hell are you doing?
Happy to be back. You've had me locked up in the dungeon for quite a while. But this is a format discussion that we've actually like planned out for the first time in the history of this podcast. So I'm super excited.
That's anybody who's podcasted with me knows they're famously non-formatted. Like, I just get somebody in the room, I'm like, let's just talk, man. Let's see how it goes. So I'm gonna let you like, you're first up to bat. Do you want to go free agency, or do you want to maybe take a salary dump? Take, like, maybe get a set, one of those Nabil, those sexy early second rounders, you know, and then you get a salary. What are you thinking?
Let's do salaries first. Let's do salaries.
Okay.
First one with me, and please Raptors Twitter, do not kill me. They're just ideas. They're just hypotheticals. But the first one I would truly consider is Ben. I think
Ben. Say Simmons, the full name.
Benjamin Simmons. He has a really big salary the Nets would probably like to get off because they're looking to win. It's one where he has the passing skill. Like, all this is obviously dependent on his health, but he has the passing feel to be a good transitional player and be a good connective piece if you put him on the bench with other pieces. The minutes that he did play with the Nets, they correlated to success. And there's the idea if he is healthy, you can potentially trade him off in the future of the deadline as a reclamation project. So I think there's no real downside for the Raptors in that perspective. And if you collect a couple seconds, or you get one of their younger guys who aren't playing, like a Derek Whitehead, for example, that's a massive win, and it's another piece that you can potentially swing in the deadline.
So the Nets were only minus 1.8 points worse with him on the floor. So not terrible. He improved their defense. He obviously, offense is just, it's not going to be better with Ben Simmons on the floor right now, even though it was his first year in Brooklyn. The thing is, Ben makes $40.3 million next year. If the Nets are looking for radical reformation of their roster and there needs to be a home for that contract to land, it might be a situation where a pick is attached to get out from under that. And it depends on how you value this upcoming season for the Raptors. And it does depend a little bit about how the pick conveys or does not convey. If the Raptors want to be competitive next year, let's say the pick conveys next year and they can't possibly see themselves being, again, a bottom six worst team in the league. We know what that season looks like. It's a really, really bad season. It's hard to imagine Scottie Barnes, as good as he is, leading a team healthily back to something like that. It just doesn't seem like that's something the Raptors could do. Ben, as you mentioned, this isn't about hitting home runs. This is about winning. With the player's supposed to win on the margin, and you're supposed to get a kick at the can with a draft pick or something like that. Ben would improve defensive lineups, I think, 100%. I think he would tank some stuff on offense, but I also wonder if there is room for him to be one of those, like, hubs where we see a lot of guys, like, whether it's Jakob, whether it's Kelly, whether it's Scotty. Scotty and Kelly both can shoot the three, but they're not really going to do it off of a live dribble very often. When you're standing there making decisions and running through the offense, I think Ben can plug into what Darko wants to do. I think that's fine. You can help limit some of the harmfulness of his lack of shooting by putting him in those positions. And I think as far as being like a run and dunk guy, maybe that's something that pops off. But the biggest thing is not like, oh, he's going to change the game.
Yeah.
It's that you think you might be able to get a marginally positive performance, and also you get a kick in the can. The guy I brought, and I swear to Lord, to Jesus above, it's not because he's Canadian. But if we're not doing free agents, if we're doing salary stuff, Andrew Wiggins, he makes $26 million next year, this upcoming season, $28 million the year after, and then has a player option for $30 million. If he keeps playing the way he has been playing, that $30 million player option is getting accepted. The idea here is there's some similar stuff with Ben.
Mm.
Wiggins can hit catch and shoot threes. He would immediately become the best point of attack defender on the roster. He is the type of 2/3 who could conceivably save that quickly backcourt thing going on because of the matchups he's able to take. Now, obviously, his performances have waxed and waned with the Warriors. He hit a high watermark. He started the All-Star game. He got paid a bunch. He won, like, he went to the finals. He won a chip, and it's been trending downwards ever since. However, he's still not an old player. I think it's easy to conceive of how he might be useful going forward. And that one, to me, I'm not sure if the Warriors are attaching anything to that. But again, the Raptors, if they're interested in being like a play-in type team or back end of the playoff picture team next season, a player like Wiggins would actually be, I think, incredibly valuable for them. And if it's just kind of like, you know, medial value to medial value going back and forth between the Warriors and the Raptors, that would be an interesting one. Now, I don't know how interested the Warriors are in that, but it's a name. Your thoughts on Canada's son, Maple Jordan.
Maple Jordan. Fun fact. The day I realized I wasn't basketball wasn't in my future is when I saw Andrew Wiggins play. He played my school in high school, and our coach said, let's hold him under 40. And that's when I knew we were in trouble. But overall, I think Wiggins makes a lot of sense. Like, the Raptors are in a position where they probably have to start Grady next year, which a quickly and like Grady backcourt is asking a lot defensively. They really don't have the requisite assets to like be a positive defensive backcourt right now. Wiggins would take a lot of that pressure off of Grady. He's a piece that's already played within an offense that is fairly similar. So, you know, he can hit a catch and shoot. He can also take advantage of closeouts, hit a two dribble pull up. He has the athleticism to be a quality defender as well. And we've seen him operate within a high enough plane to think that it could happen again. And the salary realistically for the Raptors isn't one where if this doesn't pan out that it's going to hurt the possibilities of Scottie's future. And if it does, and if he does become a positive, he's also young enough to be a potential core player for the contending Scottie team. So it's something that I would look into. I don't know how much the Warriors realistically are going to, especially like with Klay Thompson in flux. But if he was someone they were willing to dump, I'd be all over it.
Yeah. And also in addition to that, like, the Raptors, quite famously, do not hit the ball out of the park with their free agency signings. It's a salary cap sport. You got to hit the salary cap floor. You got to be spending money regardless. Wiggins at 26, 28, and then a player option at 30. It's not inconceivable to think that in an offense that won't rely on much off-the-bounce creativity from him, that will rely on him mostly as a catch-and-shoot three-point shooter, as a cutter, he's a he's played in that Warriors like framework before, out of split action, out of continuous motion a lot. And there's room for him to have like a much better season. And whether he fits like Scottie's timeline, you can have old players that fit timelines. It's true. It can work out. But also in addition to that, it could just be like you're bringing a guy over. He has a really good year, but then he becomes in a $28 or $30 million season, he might become very attractive to contenders. Like he might be that wing. And then you can like, you make those types of trades. That's how a lot of teams have done in the past, is like, you don't, it's not only about the asset that's coming back. It's about guys who can take the extra leeway with the new team, a little bit more freedom, and kind of revive their games a little bit. And then value goes up, as we know in the NBA, value, i.e. return, all that kind of stuff. I think it's a very, very interesting one. I'll tell you one that I think is just not really going to happen at all, but we'll say it anyway. Cam Johnson. Again, we're at the Brooklyn Nets. He, basically what you and I did, right? Yeah. Go to Spotrac or however you say it. Sort. Biggest salary, 2024-25. I don't know if that's what you did. That's what I did. That's
exactly what I did.
Yeah. I do that, and I'm looking for names that pop out as like, this guy has been either, there's been murmurs about him leaving, or he's very clearly underperforming the expected value of his contract. Cam Johnson fits into both of those things loosely, very loosely. He's also 28. He's like one of those, you know, deceptively older players in the NBA because he played so long in college. Cam Johnson, $23.5 million next season, descending to $21.5 million the season after, and then 23.6. This one I don't think is like asset comes back. Yeah. I think this is maybe just like a guy who, whatever you trade going out, could be more interesting, or would be like you end up winning that trade down the line or something like that. Like if you had told me that the Raptors had to add like the second round pick on top of the 29th pick that they ended up trading for like Kelly and Ochai, but instead of Kelly and Ochai, they got Cam, I think that's probably a pretty good trade, something like that. Cam Johnson, thoughts?
It's another player that like fits everything the Raptors do, and it's one where like the contract isn't I wouldn't necessarily look at it as a massive negative. It's one where you could flip into another or bigger salary probably down the road. And he's one, the Raptors need wing size in general, and he's like the type of piece where you can start him at the four, you can play him at the three, where he just makes a lot more lineups more tenable. So that's like an easy thing that I would do I would jump on if you actually were available.
Yeah. Okay. I'll say a one that nobody's going to like, and we won't talk about for long, but a name that fits like, and the Raptors did just trade for a big out of Utah. It's probably not going to happen this way. And Utah is probably not going to attach a pick, but I mean, John Collins makes $26.5 million and then $26 million on a player option.
Yeah.
If Utah were less flexible, I think they would be eager to get out of it. He's not a very attractive player to play in the Raptors system, I don't think, but he definitely fits the mold of like a player who makes a lot more money than people would expect or more than teams are comfortable paying him. And then you go for something there. But if you have any thoughts on John Collins, let me know, but we can move on to your pick after that.
Lovely role player. No, sir. The player that I thought was pretty interesting, and I think like pretty realistic, would be DeAndre Hunter. I could see a scenario where the Raptors are
You think he would be like a dump? Because he would have been the centerpiece of a Pascal Siakam trade. I was hearing.
The Hawks currently have the 10th pick. The Raptors are at 19 currently. Like, I'm just assuming, like, for my own clarity, I'm just assuming we're not getting this pick. I can't deal with disappointment right now.
Okay. But,
a decent way for them to get within the top 10 and closer to that pick value range is a simple pick swap and Bruce Brown swap with DeAndre Ayton. The salaries work perfectly together. It's someone who the Hawks would be able to quickly accept and get underneath the cap. It looks like if they do trade Trey and split up that backcourt, that they'd be more in a rebuilding stage anyways. And Hunter, although he signed like fairly long term, it's a salary that isn't going to kill you cap wise. I think he does have more to show, like within his offense. Like the mid range numbers have always been quality, especially off the dribble stuff. So I could see a scenario where Darko opens up a particular part of his game because he would be able to actually use a live dribble, see what he actually can do from there. And the defense, while not as like strong as the initial scouting reports would say or the initial like draft prospect ideals were, it's far better than what we have.
So I didn't have DeAndre, and that's an interesting one. If it was like 15, you know, instead of 10, the 9 pick jump is something I could hear about in like 2008, and I'd be like, oh yeah, I believe it.
Yeah.
GMs, oh, they care now. Like they care a lot. But that's a really interesting thought. Yeah. I do like that. Just kind of, and like that's the thing. People sit and concoct trades all day, millions of people, and still somehow the trades that end up getting made are always different than what was predicted, even on like forums where it's just like 18 guys are on like Real GM, like, nope, this is the framework I see. It's so hard to predict a trade, but I really like where your mind is, where it's like, you know, maybe it's a pick swap. Maybe it's something a little bit more modest. The 9 pick jump is maybe not so modest, but that's a good idea too. And it wouldn't surprise me if it manifests in like that type of way. DeAndre, the player, I don't find super interesting.
Fair enough.
But he is like, he's to me a very middle of the road wing, but that could be a hole in my analysis. And like middle of the road wings pop off from time to time. You know, Aaron Nesmith is another good example of a guy who everyone thought was just like, there's nothing really defining his game. He just fades into the background. And now he's like a gritty on ball wing defender who hits threes pretty well. It's never too late to add to your game. DeAndre is a interesting one. When you said DeAndre, I thought you were going to say this next name. Ayton. Mekhi Bruce staked his name on DeAndre Ayton the Raptor. I want to know if you're willing to do the same.
He's a Caribbean brother as well, but
that's why he couldn't get out of the driveway, man.
Yeah, I was about to say, after the driveway news, I don't think I can actually consider. I think the big challenge I think I would have with Ayton is that his best requisite skills has always been being a diver, working with a ball handler that's going to be able to feed him. And we've seen Scottie's able to do that. But where he wants his game to evolve is to be that hub that gets the ball 10 to 15 feet and has the free reins to score. And that's not what the Raptors are trying to accomplish. And the defense has waned quite a lot since Phoenix. So I wouldn't necessarily be interested as much. And the Raptors would have to move probably 2 to 3 players to match his salary. So it's an investment I probably wouldn't make.
Yeah. So I have two wings who I think are pretty unrealistic. And then I have one wing who is soberingly realistic. We have Michael Porter Jr. And the chance of a Porter Jr. cut, like a chance of one of the Porters coming north of the border has to be like below 0%, man. But basically, I think Michael Porter Jr. is, as far as like impact, as far as by almost any metric, any numbers, among the players who get 36, 38, 41 over the next 3 seasons, he's got to be in the lowest 10% in like so many returns of when you're trying to identify value, right?
Yeah.
And the Nuggets would have to flame out and he'd have to be like a total jackass during the run for them to start looking at that. I don't think that's realistic. Jeremy Grant, $29 million this upcoming year, $32 million year after, $34 million the year after, $36 million player option the year after that. Jeremy is interesting in that I don't think his contract is so crazy relative to impact. It's just long.
It's the Tobias Harris effect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas the 76ers, they probably fielded, like, they probably fielded like 900 calls about players. And I bet they said, what do you guys think about Tobias? Like, in 880 of them, you know? And I'm not so sure.
Yeah.
Well, but yeah, just names.
What do you think about, like, a Kevin Huerter dump? He's making.
Would they dump him, do you think?
It hasn't gone fairly well, I would say. And they could.
You don't think they value the 82 game player?
He's
like, shout out to Chuck.
He's not someone that you probably would want to play in the playoffs too. And they could use. I could see how Bruce would be a nice, like, tandem piece that works well off of Sabonis, to be honest. And Huerter fits what the Raptors are doing. So I think that makes a lot of sense overall.
Ooh. The only problem is I think the perceived value of Huerter is higher than Bruce.
Yeah,
but sure. That could just be like a improve the team trade, at least for the 82 games.
Yeah.
The 82 games. I think, okay, Huerter is interesting. He definitely, like, the Raptors run a lot of things similar to the Kings. He could just plug in. Now, in addition to that, we watched Bruce Brown. I don't know if the Kings analysts, the Kings coaches or decision makers would be like, well, we just saw Bruce in this type of offense.
All I would need is 5 minutes in the room. I would say, this is Jokic. This is Sabonis.
Watch out. Whatever I want is what I get. That's you. That's you, brother.
That's not me. That's not me. That's not me.
Okay. Another Kangs. Harrison Barnes makes $18 million next year. He makes $19 million the year after. I think this could legitimately be a dump. Yeah. You get a second round pick for taking Harrison Barnes on. I think that's a real thing. Are you interested?
While I don't think Harry B is Michael Jordan like he was supposed to be, he's just like a middle of the road wing. He's someone that you could slot in their starting five today, and he would be totally fine. So I think it makes sense, and the Raptors do need more like veterans who can make more lineups tenable. So I wouldn't mind it at all.
Did you think that Harrison Barnes was gonna like pop the hell off with Dallas when he first jumped ship?
Yeah,
yeah. Like, were you like, he's going to have a 25-point per game season?
Not 25-point, but I thought he was going to be like an all-star wing. I was like, this makes sense. He's going to get the jump. He's already shown it with the Warriors when he's given opportunity. Nope.
He was one of my favorite players at that point in time. When he first was coming into the league, I really liked Harrison Barnes. He had like this languid wingy game, right? Like, it's like that slow rip through, one dribble, pull. He had a really like basic like jumper. There was a lot that I liked, and then obviously that dissipated over time, you know. Yeah. But he's a champion, man. You know, you can't take that away from him. I think that's kind of where I rest. Zach LaVine also fits into this just because he has this insanity contract. 43 this upcoming season, 46 the year after that, $49 million player option.
I just
some seem like too big to even imagine.
Yeah.
If Zach could be traded easily, he would not be a Chicago Bull right now. Like, the league tried and the league didn't figure it out. Many minds came together to try and figure that out, and it didn't happen. That's kind of, those are the names. If you're listening and you actually have a good name, leave it in the comments. We will talk about this stuff over the course of however long. But, and also just as a reminder, like, we will be doing a lot of draft stuff, but I want to be able to wait on some of the draft stuff until after May 7th, when that draft lottery, so that we actually know I don't want to dedicate 45 minutes to Reed Sheppard and then not have the pick be at six, you know, like that would be disheartening for me, quite frankly. Anybody else interesting, Trey?
Dump wise, surprisingly the NBA has less like poor salaries than I thought, like looking through most of those.
After that big cap jump.
Yes.
Where they're like, guys, we gotta give Timofey Mozgov $16 million. After that happened, everybody was like, wait. You know?
The only other player I thought of was Bogdan Bogdanovic, another player that like fits well with what the Raptors are doing. If the Hawks are really looking to rebuild and sell off their team, I think he's someone that makes sense, and he signed for a long period of time, so I don't think they're gonna be able to get like plus value for him.
We want only every Raptors offseason, you want them to have a hero from the FIBA tournament. We got Dennis Schroeder, we got Bogdanovich. He's also a sneaky old guy too, hey? By the time the season starts, I think, when's his birthday? August 18th. He's going to be 32 when the season starts. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
Because like Pascal is 30, and Bogdanovich looks like he's 25.
He does. Yeah. I was going to say, he looks fairly good.
Yep. Handsome chap, I guess. Well, young. Sure, whatever. Anyway, let's get on to the free agents. So I'm going to start off with the heavy hitter. And again, if you disagree, just please don't call me an idiot.
a schmuck.
A schmuck is perfect. Be like, this guy's a schmuck. My favorite one, and it is a lot about you're fighting perception. There are a lot of players who underperform contracts or underperform draft slot and all this kind of stuff, right? And immediately everyone thinks that they should be playing in China. I do not think that James Wiseman is ready for China. It is not time to say ni hao to James Wiseman, although he could say it back because he speaks Mandarin, as was the reason that the front office brass of the Warriors was so impressed with him. Well, Melo Ball didn't speak Mandarin to them, so they're like, this guy, no. But James Wiseman, basically, the sell here is that it's probably less than $8 million a year. That's what you want to keep it under. I think probably the best fit for him is like Miami or something. But I think his mixture of athleticism, size, and motor, and agreed, anybody who's going to say he doesn't have tremendous feel for the game or say that he has bad feel for the game, you got it. Like, no arguments there. But with his physical tools, he finishes the ball well and he protects the rim well. Those two things, he does it every time he steps on the floor. Now, the Raptors aren't the most obvious fit for him as far as like scheme. Mm-hmm. But James Wiseman, I think, is a guy who, if you want to sign somebody who could potentially, and you can see a route to him outperforming that contract, I think he's a potential guy that you could have that happen. That's where I am on James. What do you think about Jimmy Wiseman?
Jim.
Maybe we call him Jim.
Yeah,
a little bit more serious tone to him.
Yeah, I think like if you can disillusionate, that's not even a word.
The disillusion
like between like the pick and him as a player, it's like rough.
Sure.
Currently, I would look at it as like a Koloko replacement. He's like your third big, who can play up and down the way that he could. And could pair possibly well with Scotty in some of those lineups where he's playing with the bench overall. And the Raptors currently very weak at the point of attack. They're going to need someone that can protect the rim at a very high level. You even saw like throughout the season, like Jakob, like him being on the floor, him being off the floor, the massive differences like within the Raptors defense. So overall, it makes sense because he's one of the few free agents who are young, have actual upside and have the potential to outperform a contract and potentially become like a staple within your rotation. And those are the key things that the Raptors are missing. There's sparking every contender usually has one to two guys that they found off the scrap heap and turn them into a rotation player. Like, and the odd time, like with the Bucks, they find Chris Middleton, who turned into a starter for their team for 7-8 years. Brooke Lopez, who was undervalued in the league, becomes a starter and changes their entire game. Those are the type of wins that the Raptors need to have to fill out their rotation, because the draft is a super long process, and you do not want to put your entire success on barbecue hitting the upper echelons of stardom. You need to hit singles across the board.
So that's the big thing.
Yeah.
Is, I know James Wiseman isn't a sexy name, but there's NBA stuff there. Like, there really, really is. And there's a reason why, like, hustle players and motor players are the ones who are most easily able to, with coaching, create impact or a greater amount of impact than people initially thought. And I wonder if James Wiseman, I think it'll happen. It could happen in a few different places, but I wonder if it might not be cool if it happened in Toronto. Of course, people disagree. That's fine too. But Jimmy Dub. Just a thought. What name do you got for me?
My thought process heading into free agency is, how do we acquire enough NBA players that can fill out our roster? I'm not looking for a big swing. The Raptors historically haven't even, I guess, like, the biggest swing they've ever made is like Tamari Carroll or Hedo Turkoglu. But I just want rotation players in the lineup. So, like, the first one that I think that makes a lot of sense, Caleb Martin. He's a wing defender that the Raptors are, one, targeting and fits the type of offense that they want to play. And I think a key thing with, like, a lot of the core guys being out earlier in this, like, towards the end of the season, is that none of their role players currently right now can extend any advantage or take a dribble handoff and get downhill whatsoever. He's someone that you saw, like, within the playoffs, every time he had a closeout, he extended that advantage and was able to score and make plays, and sometimes make plays for others. I think that's someone that you can stick within your lineup. He can start some games. He also can be your bench wing defender and be on the team for 3 to 4 years, and you're completely fine with the value you got from him.
That's, Caleb is interesting because most of the names that I've written down are stopgaps. Like, you have salary, you have to spend it somewhere. This is where it's being spent. Wiseman, I could see a guy potentially who is around for longer, but that outcome I don't think is, like, they rank outcomes by percentile. What are the chances it happens? Like, Wiseman being a long tenured Raptor, probably not very high. Malik Monk is a name that comes up where you have to break the piggy bank to get him, and you'd have to spend a lot on Quickly and Monk for a backcourt that probably isn't that rewarding, but you know Monk would be around for a while. It's interesting to think of Caleb Martin as, like, a low investment guy that you could easily see hanging around for some time, and that's meaningful. I think he is interesting from that point of view. I would be really interested to see how it goes away from the Republican austerity, 80s heat culture era, that kind of stuff. But he is very interesting to me. And obviously our friend T would be overjoyed to see him coming over. But yeah, the guy I have next is, I'm trying to think along with Darko here. Darko loves his point guards.
Yep.
He currently has one. Tyus Jones.
Hmm?
And Tyus Jones is not supposed to make anybody excited.
Yeah.
He's not supposed. The pants are on. The pants are firmly on. And Tyus Jones would be like, he would elevate a second unit, I think, greatly. I think he could operate out of a lot of the pet actions that the Raptors like. And I don't think he would be too expensive. That's basically, I think, the front office catering to part of this rebuild with Darko. And I think Tyus operates in somewhat of the same sense as Kelly does, in that he's there to help facilitate the scheme, help other players develop. And also, I think that it helps massage away some of the Quickly stuff on ball, because in the middle of games, Tyus could be the point guard defender and you can hide quickly. I think that's all valid. I think that's all reasonable. And that's the sell for Tyus. Of course, all this matters on like what term and how many years it is, but that's, I think that is a meaningful signing.
Yeah. I think in terms of like versatility and the lineups you put him, it makes tons of sense. I think like overall with the season, like too much pressure was put on him, like Emmanuel quickly to be an on ball creator. Tyus would be able to allow him to play off the ball and he can come off of split actions and do the things that made him really excel as a Knick and some towards the stuff that he was doing with Scotty on the floor also. And Tyus would be able to play within bench lineups, get them organized, be able for them to be able to actually create with some of the advantages that he's manifesting, like through just structure. The Raptors badly need a backup point guard. I know they've experimented with Scotty as like their pseudo like backup point guard in general, but I don't necessarily think that's a long-term option that you want for him or for the team. Like those bench lineups typically lost their minutes. Tyus is someone that is going to be able to be a high-level guard off the bench. Typically, if you have him as your backup point guard, you have a large advantage over the other backup point guard. And the type of offense that the Raptors want to play, passing is king, and he is someone that's going to be able to get Ochai an easy dunk as he's getting to the rim, being able to work off of Kelly and make Kelly pop and give him two or three shots and excel from there. That's something that the Raptors are missing overall, because a lot of their guys right now are play finishers that can react, but no one currently organizes the team in the way that Tyus can.
And also on top of that, you can kind of have your cake and eat it too, in that you can have Scotty run the offense. Like you can. And you can have a point guard defender play alongside him. And like you can have Tyus operate with a lot of the secondary actions and stuff like that as well. And you can have Scotty as the creator, the engine of the offense, without moving him away from what he's best at defensively. So I think that there's a natural fit there. Another guy who I think is a natural fit is D'Anthony Melton. And D'Anthony Melton, I think, is kind of like if Ochai Agbaji was good at things.
Don't say that.
But so, sorry, Ochai. If Ochai was had a history of being an okay or passable shooter.
There you go.
Melton, I think, is definitely a guy who can... You're not relying on the three-point shot for his impact because he's going to bring it on the defensive end. He's going to give you more flexibility across some of the matchups that you're seeing in the backcourt. But he's also a guy who like can operate out of continuous motion, can hit an open three. And if you want to kind of validate that flex can jump into the starting lineup on occasion slash is like a seventh man role, yeah. I think D'Anthony Melton, depending on how much you pay, of course, but it's a name, and I think a gettable name if you want to play better basketball. And of course, everything that we're saying here is contingent on the Raptors caring about playing winning basketball next year. Yeah. So, yeah.
1,000%. I love D'Anthony Melton. He's every team that he's on, he's a minute winner. He's someone that if he's your sixth or seventh man, you're a really, really good team. He quality defender that can hit open shots as well, and also can like pseudo be your point guard in certain times when you're really in a bind. He's like another one of those guys who you, if you sign him, you take that as a small win and like a building block that to your eventual playoff team. He's someone that I think you can allow Grady to start and him come off the bench, and depending on how great he plays or the lineup, he can close a lot of games for you as well just because of his defense. So I think he's a person that fits like the both of the timelines that you'd probably be exploring if you're trying to win today and also like helping that like barbecue core.
Yeah, I think he's perfect. He's perfect in that sense. I think that like the sexy names is Malik Monk.
Yeah,
but it's not as sexy once you get into the numbers. James Wiseman is a little sexier than the numbers, but overall it's not that sexy at all. And Tyus and D'Anthony, I think, are like very sensible targets to go after. The last name I have here is Lonnie Walker IV. Somebody a lot of Raptors fans have pined for, a lot of Raptors analysts have pined for. If you're a believer in Lonnie operating out of handoff sequences, if you're a believer in some of the three-point shooting, that's the sell. And he's not going to make a lot of money. If you'd rather the Raptors spend a little bit of money on Lonnie Walker, it's maybe a little bit tough that they have McDaniels on the biennial exception instead of a guy like Lonnie, but that's the last name I have. I don't know what you think about Lonnie.
Yeah, I'm a big Lonnie fan. Like, when we made the initial Spurs trade for Thad Young, I was like, they're probably getting back Lonnie Walker. I totally get it. Lonnie Walker's worth 10 picks. But then it was Drew Eubanks. I absolutely lost it.
Oh.
Man, the dread I had that day. The sign of more things to come, I guess. But Lonnie is like another guy similar to Caleb that can get downhill. He's super athletic and be able to attack close-offs, work off of dribble handoffs. Another guy that gives the Raptors a portion of advantage extension that they currently don't have at some of their guys. The question is like the defense. Do you want to add another really bad defender to this team of really bad defenders? But he's someone that if the downhill stuff really pops and the shooting, especially off the dribble, pops with this team, like, he's someone that you probably can flip for plus value down the road.
Yeah. I'm not so certain about Lonnie. Can I give you a name
that's
going to like make you shudder and say 2021? Jalen Noel.
Oh, God.
There was that one year Jalen shoots 39% from three. He shoots 52% inside the arc. A lot of it is unassisted. And everybody is looking at the Wolves that are underperforming and saying, there's two guys here that have insane numbers, really unique shot charts, and they create a lot. Naz Reid and Jalen Noel. One of those guys popped the fuck off. And that's Naz Reid. One of those guys did not have that happen. And that's Jalen Noel. He could last be seen playing for the Detroit Pistons. 4 games. 7.5 points per game.
Man,
I haven't thought about him in a long time, but it just randomly like, ding, because I was thinking about Lonnie. I was like, let me go see what Jalen is up to. His nickname, Big Timer, with an H on the end of it.
Man, in 2021, if you didn't think Jalen Noel was the next up, you were called the biggest schmuck on the internet.
Look at the unassisted layup percentage.
Dear God. Oh, man. He's another. I look at it like a Javon Freedom Liberty type signing. Like, with JFL, like, the shot creation didn't pop off in the way that you wanted down the stretch. You kind of hoped that, yeah, like, with the added stuff that he'd be able to have the odd 20 to 30 point game where it shows you something that you should keep him on the roster a long time. I think Jalen Noel in a similar situation makes sense. And he's already proven, like, if the shot does regress positively, he can be someone that you can throw into lineups and be another creator on the team.
He is a guy who I have to watch more if we're actually interested in this, which Jalen, I'm not so sure. But like, how he went from being on a pretty good Wolves team in 22-23, scoring like 11 points per game, being a guy who did get a decent amount of the ball, to this year, he's on a 10-day. Like, he's signing 10-day contracts.
Yeah.
That is usually when something like that happens, usually the answer isn't fully on the court.
Yeah.
It's like, and I don't mean this in like something bad, but just like maybe he didn't get along with a coach. And that could be the coach's fault just as often as it is the players. That could be a million different things. But you're trying to figure out like, what happened here? And I don't know anything. I have no intel. Maybe I have to get on the phone to some of the
boys. Another folktale.
Yeah, the boys out in Soda. It's like Fargo, you know? That's kind of where I'm at. Jalen Noel. Kind of a fun name just because of the history. It's because I know you've been around when Jalen Noel propaganda has propagandaed. you know?
Yeah, this is how you know we're chronically online. Dear God. I think one other person in question I have, I think we've talked about this too, is if they were to make a big swing and say address a long-term center, whether you think Jakob fits or not, like offensively, and like a Nick Claxton, like I look at it as like a change in philosophy, especially defensively. And the Raptors aren't going to be a very strong point of attack team. Can they be a switch team? Can they be someone that they use their length, they use their ranging long big to deter people from the rim rather than have people run by quickly and Grady and have Jakob be the long-term force and Scotty sweeping? And then also offensively, do you use that vertical spacing with Nick Claxton to open up more room for Scotty?
Nick is interesting, like 100%. My worry is that there's like that Bruce Brownification thing where it's like, once you're no longer playing with Kyrie Irving, James Harden, and Kevin Durant, is it maybe like scary hours? Yeah. Suddenly shooting 70% from the floor isn't like super easy to do, you know? That is my worry. But he really has like he's a big playmaker on the defensive end. And if you do want to switch going forward and switch scheme, then I think that's something you can try for. But that requires other moves. That's like a domino.
Yeah.
There has to be a domino that goes before Claxton.
Yeah.
And if that happens, then I'm immediately like, okay, I've got my eyes peeled for Nick Claxton. But he's an interesting shout, and I know a lot of Raptors fans are also interested in him particularly, and for good reason. Very interesting player. I think he probably ends up making a slight amount more than Jakob. But again, maybe not a lot of teams throw money. Should be interesting. But I've talked about the Nick Claxton Jakob fits against each other a decent amount, and you have too. So you want to leave that there?
Yeah.
Podcast?
Man, we said 20 minutes and look where we are.
Yeah. We're fools. That's what it is.
Every time.
Okay, anything you want to say before we get out of here?
I want to say we should probably do something live for the lottery, because people are going to want to see my reaction.
Let's do a lottery live show.
Yeah, people are gonna want to see my reaction if we don't get this pick. I'll tell you that.
Oh man,
I'm praying to God they get this pick, man. I can't. I won't be able to deal if they don't.
You're throwing a chair. You need me over there to fix the drywall in the morning. Daggum. Yeah, yeah. We'll get the fellas together. We'll do a lottery live stream. And that'll be fun. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. More stuff to come. I'll have a big Grady piece soon. So stay tuned for that on raptorsofpub.com. And if you... Nah, I don't really care about all that. Anyway, that's where I'm at. Good. Thanks for listening, everybody. And from myself and Trey, whether you got into this in the morning or at night, have a blessed day and goodbye.